Please pray with me. God, as we've heard the word now, we ask for your spirit to come upon us as we think about the meaning it has for our life. And there's so much more in this text than what we're going to be able to cover this morning, but God, use the words that you've given me this week to make a difference in our lives now. Amen. As you have noticed, probably, the sermon title is, "Oh no, it's the E word." What's the E word? Evangelism, yeah. It's a topic that makes many Christians squirm in their seats. I wonder why that is. There's a Peanuts comic strip in which Linus is listening carefully as his sister Lucy boasts about her religious faith and her potential as an evangelist. She says to Linus, "I could be a terrific evangelist. Do you know that the kid who sits behind me in school? I convinced him that my religion is better than his religion." And Linus asks, "How'd you do that?" And Lucy replied, "I hit him with my lunchbox." I am sure that is not the kind of attitude and behavior Jesus taught his disciples to use as they took his message into the world. It is definitely not the example Jesus set for us to follow. Jesus was a preacher. He was a teacher. He was a people person, a loving, caring, down-to-earth people person. Jesus was straightforward and faithful to the message he shared with those that he met. He never hit people with a lunchbox, but he did not shy away from sharing the truth. As we find here in the Matthew text that was read for us this morning, Jesus was also truthful about what his disciples would face as they ventured out to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. In the beginning of chapter 10, which we did not read, he tells his disciples that they should expect to experience persecution for their faithfulness to share the message. They should have been aware of that reality already because they saw what Jesus endured as he communicated God's message to the world. He was run out of town. He was threatened with stoning, ridiculed for caring for those ostracized by the rest of the community, harassed for challenging the ridiculous laws the Pharisees determined were necessary to keep God's law. And in the end, he was killed. Jesus was even accused by the Pharisees of acquiring his power to drive out demons from Beelzebul, the Lord of the flies, and the prince of demons. Let's face it, there were people who just didn't like Jesus. The disciples watched as Jesus did not back down in sharing the message of God, and for that endured the persecution. And then here, in Matthew 10, 24, and 25, Jesus tells the disciples that they should expect the same. He tells them to not be naive to think that what happened to him, their teacher, their mentor, could never possibly happen to them, because it would in some way. Is that what makes many of us feel uncomfortable about evangelism? Maybe without even thinking about what Jesus endured, we're afraid of how our lives might be negatively, at least in our perception, affected if we begin talking about and living out our faith in places other than where we feel comfortable doing it. It's comfortable talking about and living out our faith when we're with other Christians, isn't it? But why is it more challenging at other times? Are we afraid we'll lose friends? Are we afraid it will cause tension and division in family relationships? Jesus tells us that by the very nature of humanity, that could happen. Are we afraid we will be ridiculed and embarrassed if we cannot answer questions that someone might ask us about the Bible, about God, about Jesus? Are we afraid it may make things difficult and uncomfortable for us say at our place of employment. The story is told of an old Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside selling thread, buttons, and shoestrings. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick into the air and go in the direction where the stick pointed when it landed. One day, however, she was seen tossing the stick up in the air several times. "Why do you toss the stick more than once?" someone asked. "Because," replied the woman, "it keeps pointing to the left, and I want to take the road on the right." She then dutifully kept throwing the stick into the air until it pointed the way that she wanted to go. Many people keep throwing the stick in the air because they're afraid to do the will of God, to take the good news everywhere. Jesus tells us that we should not be afraid. Sometimes when Jesus tells us not to be afraid, he makes it sound like it's just so easy to do. But we all know it's not always easy to feel uncomfortable and afraid. Jesus never said that faithfulness to God, following Jesus, was going to be an easy thing. Did you ever think about this? Any stand or any message that people take and share in life is going to result in someone somewhere criticizing, ridiculing, and excluding you from a group. It's what we humans do. Now, if that's true, wouldn't you want to be enduring hardship for God rather than for something that is empty and meaningless? Something we've made into a god or an idol? Jesus said in today's text, if you're going to fear something, fear God. The Message Bible puts it this way: don't be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, your body, and your soul in his hands. The God who created you, who knows everything about you, who cares for you more than anything else, who sent Jesus to us so we can know God so that we can spend a living eternity with him. The fear of God is not an exercise in trying to avoid him. It is an experience and feeling of awe for the one and only almighty and loving God, inspiring us to do all we can to please him, including helping to build his kingdom so others can also know and love our amazing and awesome God. Jesus warns us that we should put God first in our lives. That means putting God above everything. Everything else in our lives, including the fear of telling others about him and being examples of how to live. Remember, Jesus said, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. In my Living Bible, it explains that verse this way. It says, clinging to this life may cause us to forfeit the best from Christ in this world and in the next. The more we love this life's rewards, leisure, power, popularity, financial security, the more we will discover how empty they really are. The best way to enjoy life, therefore, is to loosen our greedy grasp on earthly rewards so that we can be free to follow Christ. In doing so, we will inherit life eternal and begin at once to experience the benefits of following Christ. So the E word is something that Jesus commanded all of us to do when he said, go. Go and spread the good news to everyone. But still, it conjures up those images for us about people who have shared in less than attractive Christian ways. It also is something some of us feel we lack the knowledge and ability to do. We hear the word, and we usually think of words like preaching. We picture things like people standing on a street corner. We picture people knocking on doors and trying to twist your arm or throw tracts at you. But what Jesus teaches us to do through word and example is not that necessarily. I'm sure there's some people that do that in a very good way. Jesus shows us how to live missionally, which involves more than just words, more than just programs, and definitely more than money. Being missional is a way of living. It is words and actions that invite people to have a personal encounter with Christ. And all of us are called to live missionally. It's not just for those who have money to support mission projects. It's not just for church leadership who dreams up and organizes programs. It's not just for the preacher who shares God's message from the pulpit. Living missionally is what is expected of every single one of us, young and old. Living missionally means we need to always begin by working on our relationship with God, knowing him, what he teaches and expects from us, getting so close to him and his son Jesus Christ that we become like him, and people hear and see that through all that we say and do. Every day, everywhere we go, no matter who we may be spending time with, it's not necessarily something we plan or put on our schedule for the day. It's a way of living 24/7. Living missionally invites people to experience another way of living. It introduces Jesus to others. It opens doors to talk more openly about Jesus. You get to know somebody, and the door opens. All of us can and should be doing this. There's so much more to say about living missionally, and quite honestly, if you're reading your Bible, if you're listening to Jesus' teachings, even listening to the sermons that I've been preaching, you've been taught all about living missionally. But you can count on hearing more. I want to close by sharing this true story with you. Some of you have already heard me tell this story, like in my Sunday school class, and others perhaps. But it made such a powerful impact on me that I just need to tell it again. As some of you know, there three other pastors and I did a study on the missional church. And part of that study involved going to New Zealand and Australia. I know, rough life, right? The program we were in also encouraged us to find some place to go where we could relax and enjoy things. And we did. We went there because we wanted to meet with some authors who've written books on a missional ministry. In Manly, Australia, we met with the author Michael Frost, who started a missional church called Small Boat Big Sea, and we attended one of their services. There's a lot more I could say about that service, but I'm already going longer probably than I should. But this is something I have a passion about. At the end of the service, they did something called sending. I thought sending meant that we were going to get some benediction, okay? But we didn't. A young woman that morning shared her story of her life. She had been asked the week before to come prepared to share just the week experience she had. She wasn't supposed to talk about, well, I went to church, I went to Bible study, or I did this. She was just supposed to talk about her everyday life. She told us she was a nanny for a well-to-do family. She would take care of the children, packing their lunches, taking them to school, and playing with them. She told us about the kinds of things she did to take care of the house. She told us she went for grocery shopping, which included picking up cigarettes for the man of the house. After she finished sharing, the congregation had an opportunity to share with her, where they saw Jesus living through her as she did what she did in her everyday life. They lifted up things like the care and love she shared with children, loving them and honoring them just as Jesus did. Her dedication and obedience to fulfill the to-do list and fulfill it well pointed out that she was dedicated to her work, but also that she was not judgmental to the man for smoking cigarettes. Jesus wouldn't judge. Do you understand what the point that the congregation was trying to make to encourage her on her mission to Christ? They did this every week with somebody different, and it was to encourage people to see how they lived, to see how their attitude towards people, how their love and respect, actually the love and respect of Jesus, that they had for Jesus, they could see that living through, other people could see that living through the individuals who shared their stories. Through pointing out where they saw Jesus living through this particular woman in her everyday experiences and conversations of life, they were encouraging her to be faithful, to remain faithful, to continuing the work of Jesus every day, all the time, every way, and everywhere. There's a passion in my soul that wants so desperately to be able to communicate to you the power of this lesson. It's not a new lesson. Jesus teaches this lesson over and over through his example and teachings. Yet for some reason, it's a hard pill to swallow. I think we get caught up on the words. And yes, we are supposed to share words. I'm not telling you that living missionally means you don't get to share any words. You get to share the good news. But that's not the only way. You do it through your life. Every moment. Fear of losing the rewards in this life is a hard battle to overcome. Overcoming the discomfort stirred in us by the negative images that come to mind when we hear the E word are difficult to ignore. But are the anxieties and fears that hold us back from obeying Jesus' command to go and share the good news worth succumbing to, thus denying us the eternal rewards God promises and the joy in Christ that we can know even now? That's a choice we all make every single day. Amen.